This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Thanks for listening to the Hit That Line podcast network. You can now download our new app in the iTunes or Google Play Store. Listen anytime and anywhere on your favorite mobile device. Just search Hit That Line now. Subscribe to the Hit That Line podcast network.
This podcast is powered by the pros at Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric. Arkansas owned, Arkansas operated. GoPascal.com.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
I'm always high on the hogs, guys. I'm high. Well, I'm not high right now, but my day is young.
My odometer's way up there. I'm that 2018 that's already got 130,000 miles on it.
The Razorbacks rush across the field to get that boot.
Tommy, Chuck, and Ty, you guys are the gold standards of sports talk radio.
He bleeds Arkansas.
Ty's got good hair.
Starting again with the pitching rotation, what Dave had to say about possible changes coming to that, here is what he said on the rotation.
We're not sure on it right now. We're going to make sure everybody's good to go and have some conversations and then kind of go from there. So it's been good that, you know, you got to start on Tuesday through three innings, and then he threw 70-some pitches on Saturday, kind of building them up, and we've been building them up in his bullpen, getting that pitch count going a little bit. So, just in case we needed to do this, we'll see. We'll see how it works out. You know, it'd be nice if our rotation would, you know, get back together and roll, but, you know, they got to do it.
So, I think at the latter part of that statement, if Dave had his druthers, he would go Hagen Smith, Mason Molina, Brady Tiger, or switch Molina and Tiger. But if he could just keep it the same, that's what he would do. But with Molina coming off that injury, Brady, again, had not great outing last time, but he had two good outings before that. There's just a question that this isn't like a fan delusion. This isn't a media narrative. This is from the own words of your head coach that Gage Wood could factor into this starting rotation. We'll find out probably on Thursday. Again, we know Hagen. We don't have to worry about who's going Friday night. But Saturday and Sunday, I don't think, and I could be wrong about this, I don't think we will see a change this weekend. But if one of the two starters, Molina or Tiger, struggle at home, then I think we'll see a change in College Station next weekend.
I agree. Now, I could see Molina and Tiger flipped Saturday to Sunday, vice versa. Okay. I could see that. But I don't see, I agree with you. I don't think they'll pull Gage Wood into the starting lineup unless there's some kind of injury or arm soreness, tiredness, fatigue that we're not aware of.
Yeah, good point.
With one of those two. I mean, let's not act like just because Dave spoke, he gave us everything that's in the book. You know, he didn't read he didn't tell us everything he knows. So, so if there's something else with an arm, and hey, we're late in the year, arm fatigue, soreness, it's a factor for some. But if you told me, and I'm not sure it how much of a difference it makes if Molina goes Saturday versus Sunday and Tiger, same thing, that I could see a change. To me, unless something blows up this weekend with one of those two or there's an injury, you want to roll Gage Wood out and say he doesn't start? Game one, SEC tournament, baby. Put him in there.
Is there more, I don't think that's a terrible thought, but is there more pressure on the road in College Station to potentially win the West, or as you always talk about, throwaway games in the tournament? Because no one really gives,
I think you just answered the question.
Dave will never say this publicly. So if you're going to with that, because I don't think it's a bad idea. I think there's actually more pressure next week in College Station than there will be in Hoover. So
100%.
That being said, with that philosophy, I'd throw them in there next weekend because it's more. You know what I'm saying, right? You're gonna test it.
That's why I would. That's why I would go with, unless something changes or something we see this weekend changes your opinion. There's more on the line next weekend. That's why I wouldn't risk the change. And Hoover, I don't perceive Hoover as anything on the line.
Yeah, I don't know. Okay, now I get where you're coming from.
So yeah.
If you lost
that game and Wood didn't have a good start, you know, or to even mess with it, because, I mean, all this is so much between your ears as well.
And how much confidence could Tiger or Mason Molina potentially lose if they're pulled from the starting lineup?
Or if Wood had a bad outing as a starter.
Right before postseason.
You need him in his role that he's serving now as your long reliever. You got to get McIntyre kind of back to what we've seen. He was a stud earlier in this year. He's kind of trailed off a little bit. I mean, you know, I was having lunch with some guys yesterday and, you know, conversation inevitably came around to hitting and Nate Thompson. Like, guys, you scored 17 runs in three games. You know, let's not lay all this at the feet of the hitting because I don't think that's right or fair at all.
And I will bring it up against the number one team now in the conference, not just in the East, but in the conference.
That's good, too. But, I mean, it's not like Arkansas was anemic. Now, I know you scored, was it 10 runs in the first game, and you scored, I guess, 7 over the last two games. But nonetheless, I mean, this past weekend can't be laid solely at the feet of, you know, of the production at the plate.
I guess you gave up 11 runs in game 2 and 7 in game 3, if I remember that right.
Yep.
What I will say is when you look at the overall...
And I thought they let go of the rope a little bit on Saturday. The game got over, and I think they realized they weren't coming back, and they substituted and played. I'm not saying they quit. I'm just saying sometimes you realize it's not your day, and you make decisions based on that.
And they had some abnormal defensive issues that you don't typically see from a Dave Van Horn in the outfield, not necessarily the infield. Austin Scott County brings up they had 11 stranded in game 3. They have to hit the ball with runners on base. If I remember correctly, 6 of 33... with runners on base.
Timely
in
hitting.
Games 2 and 3. I think the fair pushback on Nate Thompson is, and I'm not going to go to the degree that someone him fired or anything that, but if you look at what Arkansas is hitting this year, it's bottom 4 or 5 consistently across the board. Now, their pitching is 1 or 2 consistently across the board in the SEC. But if you look at these statistics in the Southeastern Conference, it's bottom 4 or 5. So this is not just like fans looking for something to be angry at or disappointed at with your baseball team. These are actually areas that are fair to have concern with heading into this season. Because can we come back to the idea of this team is more than capable of getting to a super regional and possibly getting to Omaha. But the question fans have is the hitting going to be enough to get this whole thing done?
That's fair. But I mean, and maybe this is just because it's easy and it's indisputable. You can't refute this. Is 40-9 and leading the West. I mean, you can complain all you want and you want perfect. That's the problem. These are amateur baseball players that play at a very high amateur level, but we expect big league perfection out of these guys. And the big leaguers aren't perfect. So, I mean, I struggle a little bit with the criticism when you've won 40 of your 49 ball games. I struggle a little bit with that because you're leading your division, you're in a position to win the whole conference, and you've still got naysayers. And we took a call yesterday morning, someone wanting, hey, if they don't get this hit straight now, let's replace Nate Thompson. That is the craziest thing to even think, much less say out loud. With the way, I mean, you've won 40 ball games and you got 2 weekends to go, plus a conference tournament, plus all of the postseason. They're going to be in a great position. Would you say they have a great opportunity to have a program high in wins? 51 or 52 wins, I think, would put you at a new season high. You got a great opportunity to do that.
Based on where you are now, yeah.
I mean, I just don't quite get all that.
Here's what I
hear what you're saying about the hitting. Would you like to hit more? Sure. But you're still 40-9 and leading the division.
Mm-hmm. So Arkansas, I was looking back at the 2018 team. I think Chuck made reference to this earlier this week. In 2018, you lost two of your final road series, one against LSU and then one against Georgia before. So two of the last three series that you played in, you lost, and you, of course, went to the College World Series final that year. The best team that Dave, on paper, statistically, has ever had was the 2021 team that lost, of course, to NC State in that regional. So
I'm not sure that this team isn't as good or better than that team.
I would say they're more rounded. As good as Hagan Smith has been, and I don't know. I mean, he's not going to win the Golden Spikes.
I'll say at times they've been better.
Yeah.
Maybe not, you know, but I think we're overreacting to one or two weekends here.
Yeah. Hagan's not going to win the Golden Spikes because it's going to go to Condon or Caglione most likely. I mean, Condon just hit his 33rd home run this weekend. Georgia is coming on a little bit. The only way that Hagan wins it is just the overall team. Arkansas would probably have to win the West and the overall title for a Hagan to even have a shot. But that team in 2021, not that Copps was the only player, but I think there was more pressure on him than even Hagan now as a starter versus kind of the max slash closer role that he played on that 2021 team. Yeah.
So, I mean, you go to Omaha, you have a good run in Omaha, nobody's going to remember, man, remember that series they didn't hit well and in the last two games of Kentucky. You know, that's not going to be even a footnote to the season if you end up in Omaha. We also have to remember you're going to play Mississippi State, who's, number 14 this week, I think, in the D1 baseball poll. You're going to play a A&M team that's a consensus top five in most people's opinion. And then what's going to happen after the SEC tournament?
Play other talented SEC baseball teams.
No. You're going to play the regional let me rub the crystal ball here. You're going to get through these next couple weekends. People are still going to gripe and complain about hitting. You're going to go into the guys, I don't know the way they hit down there in Hoover. I'm not sure. And then you're going to get into the regional and they're going to beat some poor sap like 17-2 because you also have to realize you're hitting against SEC-level pitching. You're going to get into a regional, and you're going to play a much different level of competition. No disrespect to whoever those teams might be, but they're not going to be SEC-level teams. That it all boils down to the regionals to who the 2 and 3 seed are and how well you do against that 2 or 3 in the second game. And they're going to probably have to face Hagan Smith. And whatever conference they come from, whatever league they come from, as a 2 seed, that means they're probably going to be some other league's, you know, Big 12 or an ACC school's 3rd or 4th or 5th team, something like that. Probably 4th, 5th, 6th team. It's not going to be SEC level pitching or hitting on their part either.
Yeah, I'm curious if they pitch.
And then we'll see if Arkansas matches up with another SEC team for a potential super, but you know, they're going to score a lot of runs in the regional and we're going to think, oh, everything's fine. Well, it's because you're playing really good pitching and you're pitching against really good hitting virtually every weekend right now. I don't think we're factoring that enough in.
Hagan, curious if they end up pitching him off for that regional. We'll have to wait and see. A couple texts to get to on the McCarty Dano hotline. Caleb texted and said, it's like if I called the firing for Ty because he's not perfect of his job, but he's darn good. Thank you, Caleb. Text of the 8 said, no, real fans don't want perfection. We just want
funny to how one of those tweets never slipped by you.
Make sure to read it.
Never slipped by you.
Real fans don't want protection. We just want to hit well enough to win the series of the week. They failed last week. This is still a good ball club.
They didn't fail last week. They lost. That's not failing.
Josh texting in, every baseball team on earth wants to hit more. Trust me. Thank you, Josh.
Thank you. That's a good one.
Jamie May, we are hitting. At what point are we trying too hard to drive runners in? We are not good at moving a runner, just bringing them home. Austin from Scott County, Wills Meyer and Diggs were combined 0 of 35 coming into game 2. Now, I think Kendall, if I remember correctly, hit 2 of 4 in game 1. I think that was the game that he actually hit either a double and a single, if I remember that right. So you need him to get back on track. He was 4 for 12 this past weekend. But yeah, prior to that, he was not good. I'll give you that, Austin.
Trey and Paris on the McLarty Daniel Highline. If we were playing our absolute best, people would say, I wish we would lose a game or a series before the postseason. Spot on. That's exactly right, Trey.
We're just looking
for... I mean, we can't be pleased as fans.
Looking for just, something to complain about on...
Just listen to what people are saying. And it's just nuts. Nuts.
I think... I don't think that some of these criticisms are unfair, though. Like, I referenced... I mean,
they've won 40 games.
But...
40.
Okay, the bar has been set... To would you say the minimum now for fans' expectations, whether fair or not, is to make it to Omaha?
I think
has that been moved to that?
That's fair. I would say host a super regional. I think being a top eight national seed. I mean, there's so much timing and luck involved in avoiding the hot team, as we saw a couple of years ago. But I wouldn't argue. I wouldn't push back from what you're saying. Okay. Yeah, I think every season we expect to have a shot at Omaha.
We saw last year firsthand when TCU came in and beat the brakes off Arkansas that even like some of those issues that were, again, shot down or said, oh, this won't matter, they're at home, blah, 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 they came to fruition. I think fans are really concerned after being bitten last year that even though this team's really, really good, as they were last year, as they were in 2021, 2022, you had to go on the road as a little different team, but I think they're snake bitten by those two series, the one against NC State and then the not just losses, but blowout losses against TCU. You think of those, how
what's that got to do with this team?
It's recent memory.
What's that got to do with this team?
It's recent memory. Because there's a lot of similarities between those teams with really good pitching and this team that has questionable hitting at times.
But that's those rosters and this roster, by and large, vast majority, not even close to the same players.
But they see, and that's right, but they see the stats, they see the issues, and that's where fans are wondering. It's like, I want to be talking about Arkansas, and this is a fan perspective. They're saying, I want to be talking about Arkansas baseball all the way through June. And first weekend, you didn't talk about it after that. And so, again, these concerns that people have texted in on the McLarty Daniel Hotline, we can't just shoot them down because they're real. There's one that's go over the top, and then there's ones, again, you can't push back against the batting
system. I don't care what happened 2 years ago.
It's last year. You didn't have 2 years ago.
2 years ago was NC State. Last year was TCU. I know.
3 years ago.
So
2 years ago, you went to Omaha.
Or whatever it was.
Yeah.
I don't care. Those are the references you're pointing at. I mean, so we're only going to focus on the failures? You didn't bring up anywhere and all that going to Omaha.
I just mentioned the team that went was different from...
But you're justifying these ridiculous concerns at this point based on what's happened with a roster that has nobody on it from this year's team.
Or
a handful of players, maybe, but just craziness.
There's a good chunk of players from last year's team that are on this year's team. And again...
Back 3 years, I mean, this NC State, I mean,
what I'm justifying is not the extent of, again, the fire Nate Thompson, but when you have someone that voices their opinion that this team can't hit in key situations, we've seen that several times this year, even at 40-9, where they've gotten away with it because of really good pitching, but we've seen multiple times over the course of Dave Van Horn's tenure that pitching is not always the solution to win games. Sometimes hitting prevails. More often than not, hitting prevails. How do you win games? Scoring runs. And that's an issue for this team this year.
Good thing the fans don't play.
Jimmy's in Conway on the McLarty Daniel Hotline. Jimmy, what are your thoughts on this?
Top of the morning to you, fellas. Hey, there's two things I want to talk about here. You know, we're 40-win team right now. And we're not hitting. You know, you got to be optimistic about that. Thinking,
exactly.
When we start hitting the ball, look out. You know, that's my hope. Now, on the flip side, my fear is at some point, Hagan Smith is going to lose a game.
Yep.
And when they beat him, how is this team going to react? Are they going to be Superman just went down? Are they going to fold up or are they going to rise up? You know, I don't know what's going to happen, but, you know, you get in a regional and somebody happens to beat him, are they going to give it up? You know, I don't know what the team made of. We're going to find out. But, you know, he's not probably not going to be perfect. I'd love for him to go undefeated the rest of the year. But it could happen, and if it does, it's a big deal. for the psyche of those guys that their leader can't get it done, then maybe they just fold up. I hope that's not the case.
And I'm going to guess that possible loss, which I don't know if Hagan's going to go undefeated the rest of the way. I know Blaine did a couple years ago. Isaiah almost did it, but that loss is probably not going to be on him. It's probably going to be because he didn't get any run support. And that's a fair question to ask, how this team is going to handle, like this weekend or next weekend in College Station. I don't want it to happen, but based on some of the caliber of players that you see,
it almost sounds like you want it to happen so you can be right, you know?
I want this team to win the national championship, Tommy. You know that.
But keep arguing as though, hey, I hope they go into a hitting slump they can't get out of so I can win my argument. I mean,
when did I say that this morning?
Huh?
When did I say that this morning?
That's almost like how some of these texts and just some of the narrative is, well, I hope we don't so I can say I was right. I mean,
I don't think 99% of our listeners think that.
You know?
They want to win a national championship. Come on. You don't actually think our listeners think that. They'd rather be right.
We're 40-9 and we're complaining. I don't understand. I'm sorry.
All right. Well, I guess there's no issues whatsoever with this.
I didn't say there were no issues, but we're acting like the sky is falling. It's crazy.
All right. We can move on.
I guess they should hit 400 in every game.
All right. Let's move on from that.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Cheryl, appreciate you making some time for us this morning. Has it set in yet? I mean, is it set in that you guys won on Saturday as a team?
I'm telling you, we're just kind of coming up for air, and it's just been absolutely unbelievable. You know, I think that when we finally made it to be one of the top 20 amazing contenders for the Kentucky Derby, I mean, that's such a hard thing to do. People always ask me, how many times have you been to the Derby? I'm like, are you kidding? Never. So when we made it and then to win, it has just been, it's just been surreal. It really has been.
So you're the former CFO of Alltel. I mean, you're on the JV director board or board directors. I would guess that you've had some pretty intense, pretty big meetings over the years. Has anything caused you to be more nervous than this past Saturday?
Well, honestly, I mean, you know, I don't know why, but I really felt so good about this horse and being with him all week long leading up to the race. I don't know. I think maybe the post position draw, I was more nervous there than I was when we actually got to the gate and settled in. He had been so perfect. He was not nervous, despite being there with over 150,000 people. He was just so calm. And having the three hole, having the plan, having Brian Hernandez, who is so smart in how he handles every situation. I don't know. I had a great confidence about him, and I know we were not really very well respected in terms of thinking that we could possibly win. But, you know, we were only one of two horses that had over 100 buyer coming into this race. And so I just had a confidence about him.
Yeah. Tell us about the experience of the Derby. You mentioned the 150,000. We see the drone shots for overhead.
Yes.
It's just people everywhere. What, you know, not just sitting in an owner's box, but just as a horse racing fan, what was the experience like going and seeing the Twin Spires and being at Churchill Downs for the biggest day in racing in the world?
Yes, and my husband and I have been a number of times. We have some partners at Twin Creeks Racing, and they've been gracious to offer to let us come and tag along with them a few times. So we had experienced it before, but our partners had never been there and said they basically would not go there unless they had a horse in the Derby because it is so overwhelming. It's people everywhere. And, you know, being able to move around the track, you know, on a day like that, very limited. You can only go certain areas based on where your seats are and things like that. And so I think being there and then after the race being hustled through the tunnels to get to different places and stuff, I mean, it was just actually unbelievable. That the track has grown so much. I told someone the other day, I said, you know, if you think about how it leads up to it, you know, now they have a 5-0 Tuesday and then they've got races Wednesday and now Derby is huge and then the Oaks and then the Derby. We won on a horse that my husband bought right when we got into the business. He named this horse after me. She broke her $10,000 maiden win there, but it was a $10,000 claiming win on a Derby. There was no one there. I mean, it was, you know, and that was like 12 or 13 years ago. And then to be there on a Derby or a 5-0 Tuesday, it's packed. I mean, I was on the backside on Tuesday when the races were going on, and Mystic Dan, I'm out there with Kenny, and he's like, here, you can hold him. And so I'm taking him around and letting him graze. There's tractors coming by, all of the commotion, the music, everything. He's just chill. Nothing phases him. So I don't know. I think it was just unbelievable to be there. All the noise, all the commotion, and then after winning, wow. That's all I can say.
You know, one of the cool things about horse racing is so many people can have a piece and a hand in it. And, you know, I know in the business it's called the, you know, connections, but with fractional interest and ownership, and you got the trainer. But the thing that's neat for me is not just your family's roots to Arkansas and actually being Arkansans, but so many roots outside of the state that have made Hot Springs their home. And, you know, probably regardless of who the winner would have been out of the 20 horses, in many cases there would have been a tie, Cheryl, back to Oaklawn, because Oaklawn is such a part-time home for so many in the business.
Well, Oaklawn has certainly made a name for themselves, and, you know, they've been around for over 100 years, but it's certainly a place where we like to race because we are Arkansans and we are close, and Lance also, and the Hambys. I mean, you know, there's no better place to be than right in our own backyard for racing. The purse money is unbelievable. I mean, you know, when we started in the business, we had some Louisiana breads. Well, I mean, the money in Louisiana is nothing in comparison to what it is at Oaklawn. And so you are able to actually invest in a horse that has, that may cost a little more or what have you, because in this day, you might actually be able to get money, you know, get your money back because of the purse structure. And that really is what makes it so available for everyone else. So we are grateful for Oaklawn and for, you know, all the things that they do. We really do love being there.
Sherilyn Gassaway is our guest. She and her husband, Brent, are the co-owners of Mystic Danning, along with a couple Arkansas families. Sherilyn, take me back. You mentioned Louisiana. Take me back to 89 when you're in Ruston. You're about to graduate.
Yeah.
Do you ever in your wildest dreams think you'd be in a situation like this? Had horse racing entered your mind in college back then?
No, it hadn't. And, you know, you mentioned that, you know, I was the CFO at Alltel. I mean, I'm a numbers person. I mean, you know, if you go pull up a business case for being a horse owner, you know, unless you have a horse that does something wonderful like this, it is kind of hard to make the numbers work. And when Alltel was bought by Verizon, and we were, you know, kind of semi-retired, my husband's like, can we buy into a part of a horse now? And I still was kind of keeping the clamps on it, because I just was like, we can't let this get out of control. I mean, you know, if you have too many interests, I mean, the bills just keep coming. You've got to have some winners to pay for them. And you know, with us, we have four mares, and we have a lot of babies on the ground. Well, those, they're not bringing any money in. So you've got to have some that are paying the bills. And that's really the way that I've looked at it, is like, you know, I just hope that we've got a few that can pay the bills for all of them. And then what if we hit a really good one? I mean, that's what makes a business case work.
It's literally like the lottery. When you think about all the horses born 3 years ago, and then to be one of the 20 mm-hmm. that hit the starting gate, it's a fraction of a percent.
It is a fraction of a percent. And then, you know, we are so blessed. We're so grateful.
Sherilyn, I know that you and Brent already got the WWE championship belt, which I thought was pretty cool.
Yes.
I didn't know that was a part of it. But
I did not either.
I could see you and him kind of looking stunned when I watched that video, because I had no idea that was tradition. I know this weekend has probably been overwhelming, but we did get a text here on the McCarty Daniel hotline. And we can't let you go without asking. Preakness coming up. Have you guys committed or not committed to doing that in a couple weeks?
Well, you know, we wanted to see how he came out of the race. And I would tell you, you know, the first night that after the race, I mean, he got back to the track, back to the barn late. He didn't eat all of his feed. That's sort of normal for him after something big like that. Kenny stated in the press conference that, hey, I ran this colt back, you know, 2 weeks after he had a big number. That was his second race, I think. And then, you know, he got a lung infection. And so we're going to be very careful and cautious about it. So he hasn't made it to the track yet. Tomorrow he will go to the track. And so we'll see how he does. But Kenny did call last night and say, hey, he's really eating up this feed tub. So, you know, we haven't committed, because we have to see how the next few days play out. So I guess it's a possibility, but we don't know yet.
Sounds like a wait and see. Well, Sherilyn,
we're all excited. Yeah. We're excited for you. We're excited for Arkansas. This is cool. So
it is amazing. It really is. Thank you all so much for your interest, your sport. I mean, it's just been overwhelming.
The Arlington Resort Hotel and Spa in downtown Hot Springs, Arkansas is the perfect destination for your next getaway. Join them for a romantic Valentine's Day getaway with a special dinner or romance package. Or if you're coming to town for live racing, they've got room for you every weekend, including Martin Luther King Day weekend and President's Day weekend. Experience all the luxury and hospitality of a Grand Southern Hotel. The accommodations are sure to please everyone. Visit arlingtonhotel.com for more details. That's arlingtonhotel.com.
Call or text the McClarty Daniel Hotline at 877-377-6963. McClarty Daniel, a vehicle for every lifestyle.
When you're looking for a new car, you want to shop for a vehicle you love with an organization you trust. You've probably heard that McCarty Daniel means making deals, but what I'm inspired by the most is that McCarty Daniel means making a difference in our community. When you buy a vehicle with McCarty Daniel, you reinvest right here in the community, in our schools, in our little leagues, in our food banks, and our people. So you're not just making a purchase, you're making a difference too. Come see us at any of our six locations in Northwest Arkansas.
BetOnline is your number one source for all summer sports, from Major League Baseball, golf, to the NBA and NHL playoff stats. They've got all the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. Bet online, where the game starts.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
All right, before we jump into baseball, Arkansas basketball, Bruce gets another commitment in Adu Thiero, the seventh scholarship player on this roster that signs with the Arkansas Razorbacks. More of a glue guy, role player. I really like him. He was like 6, I think 6'4 as a freshman. Now he's like 6'7, 6'8. Apparently he's still growing. He's not going to take a lot of shots. He's going to be a slasher, defender, rebounder.
How many stars was he?
Four.
Oh, I think out of, man.
Only a 4-star? I didn't know Cal recruited 4-star. What?
He was a highly recruited player out of Pittsburgh, Phil's hometown. But
that's not be any good.
This is a you got the
that's
number
how
one
ridiculous has gotten.
Yeah, no, fans have definitely changed their opinion.
You do have to have role players.
Yeah,
every now and
exactly. You need like a basketball team.
Yes,
you
know? Yes.
Like a team, like the team concept.
Yeah, somebody has to pass the ball.
He's not going to be a guy that fans are just like over the top excited about. But I think you should be. Because, again, he contributes to the team aspect. And I think one of the reasons Cal got him is he's not going to jack up 20 shots a game, but he's going to do the dirty work. At least I saw that firsthand last year when they played Arkansas.
Well, the funny thing, I got some really big customers in the state of Kentucky and some good friends in the Commonwealth of Kentucky. And they all hated Cal, but now they're not so sure, you know, and when they're looking at what he's doing over here. And I'll say this, when they had the big press conference, you kind of wondered a few weeks ago what it was going to look like. Man, it's looking pretty good.
He's come along. They still got to give
backing up what he sold that night.
He really is.
6 scholarship roster spots remaining on this team. Curious where they go, if there's any other freshmen they add, transfer players, just the type of player. But they've got a good mix of, again, young guys, wings, and big men. You probably got to, again, add with the 6 spots on different positions. But you like where you're at so far.
Yeah.
All right, that's a basketball update brought to you by the Lindbergh Real Estate Team.
Who are the best baseball teams in the SEC?
SEC!
Let's find out.
Perhaps I could be of some assistance.
This is the Pradco Pyramid of Power.
Well, a little bit of shakeup this week. Last week we had Arkansas at the top, Kentucky at number 2, A&M 3, Tennessee 4, Mississippi State 5, South Carolina at 6. That was a week ago. Arkansas goes and, as we all know, lost 2 of 3 at Kentucky. Tennessee won 2 of 3 at Florida. A&M lost 2 of 3 at LSU. Mississippi State won 2 of 3 against Alabama. And Georgia is the team everybody needs to be watching out for. They swept Vanderbilt and they get South Carolina this week. So this is how I've got them shaping up this week at the top of the Pradco Pyramid of Power. Kentucky got it done on their home field. I got Kentucky number 1 after beating the Razorbacks 2 out of 3. They got the best record in the SEC. They got the second highest RPI in the SEC. I got Kentucky number 1 in the Pradco Pyramid of Power.
Well, what's my shirt say?
Rocky Top Energy.
So, we're ranked number 1 nationally. Not ranked number 1 Tommyically. But I just made up a word, Tom.
Yeah.
Tennessee won the series at Lexington, so push them aside. Tennessee's won 7 straight series, ranked number 1 in the country, top hitting team in all of college baseball. They're the number 1 team in the Pyramid of Power.
I got Tennessee number 2 at 39-9. Kentucky is 35-10. Little difference there. Tennessee a game behind. Tennessee a game behind Kentucky in that East. So it's close, but I got Kentucky 1, Tennessee 2, and Tennessee goes to Vandy, who's reeling right now.
Reeling.
I mean, I don't know what's going on there.
They're not ranked.
Fall out of the poll. They're number 26 in the RPI, but like I said, not in the D1 baseball poll.
Yeah. You know,
I think they're still in the tournament at this point, but they're not hosting.
No, I had Kentucky number 2, but, you know, Tennessee needs to lose now. Just, it's only the second time in program history Tennessee's been ranked number 1, obviously 2 years ago. But Vitello has breathed a lot of life into Rocky Top. But don't want to be number 1 heading in the tournament. My wife keeps reminding me that number 1 seed is at 99, hadn't won.
Miami was the last team to do.
Don't want to be ranked number 1.
You don't
want
to break that curse?
No.
So me and you have flip-flop 1 and 2. Yeah. I got Kentucky and Tennessee, and 1 and 2, you got Tennessee and Kentucky. I got the Arkansas Razorbacks at number 3, 40-9, 17-7. Lost 2 of 3 at Kentucky, as we know. They get Mississippi State this weekend. I'm going with the Razorbacks at number 3.
Yeah, I had A&M number 3, but, you know, you you could flip-flop them. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, I put A&M at 4. They lost 2 out of 3 at LSU. So, to me, that until these two teams play, they're almost 3A and 3B. Records are almost identical. They're a game apart in the total season record. 49 for the Hogs, 48 for A&M. 17-7 in SEC play versus 16-8. That's why I give the Razorbacks the edge at number 3 and A&M at number 4. A&M this weekend, they're on the road, but they're at Ole Miss, who is an upshot team near the bottom of the league, making somewhat of a case in the RPI, but still in the bottom 3 in the standings. The Hogs, as we know, are at home for Mississippi State, who I have at number 5 in my Pradco Pyramid of Power. 32-16 on the year. Their RPI this week for Mississippi State is 18th, and they are ranked 14th in the D1 baseball poll. They won 2 of 3 last weekend against Bama, who is a top 25 team. I got Mississippi State at number 5.
Yeah, we're just flip-flopping. I had Georgia at number 5. Right. They're the hottest team in the SEC, won 5 in a row. They swept Vanderbilt. They got the best hitter in college baseball, Charlie Condon, hitting .459. He has 33 home runs. When you look at, like, Missouri, he has 49 as a team. He's only 16 away from the whole team in Missouri.
Yeah. It's probably your Golden Spikes Award winner, so that they don't fall off the cliff.
It's gotta be.
And I got Georgia at 6 after sweeping Vandy. They're at South Carolina. I mean, you know, we'll see this weekend. State's got to play the Razorbacks. Georgia has to go to South Carolina, which will not be easy. Have y'all looked at the RPI?
No.
Any guess where Georgia is this week in the RPI after sweeping Vandy?
10th.
10th? What do you think, Ty?
Aren't they like 3?
No, they're number 5.
Okay.
Arkansas is number 3. A&M 1, Kentucky 2, Arkansas 3. Georgia is 5, Tennessee 8. Then you got South Carolina at 13, Bama at 14. State, by the way, since Arkansas plays them at 18. And Florida is at number 23. That's 9 teams in the top 25. Actually, 10 teams because Ole Miss is number 25. Now, Ole Miss is interesting as to whether or not they're going to make an actual, you know, case for getting in the tournament. They're at, you know, near the bottom, them and Auburn. They're going to make the SEC tournament, which might be enough. It looks like Auburn and Missouri's definitely out there, the last team in this league by a long shot. They're 94th. You've got 13 of your 14 teams in the top 50 right now.
Yeah.
And LSU came up to number 34.
Yeah, they should have.
After beating 2 out of 3 or winning 2 out of 3 at A&M.
That's big. You called that. You were rooting for LSU, oddly.
Well, it is funny how college sports make strange bedfellows. But did this weekend. So they're 34th.
The enemy of the enemy is my friend.
Yeah. Right. So now I think if it was today, Vandy's in, and I think they put LSU in because it's LSU.
How many regionals will the SEC host based on the RPI?
Five, maybe 6.
Wow.
Oh, you said regional, sure. Not supers. Yeah. they'll have 4 national seeds with A&M, Kentucky, Arkansas, and Tennessee, and then
what do you do with Georgia though?
They could be one.
You said that there were 5 in the RPI. What are they, 13-11 overall, 14-11 overall?
35-12 overall, 13-11 in the league.
Yeah,
And one of the most exciting players in college baseball.
Oh, yeah, they got star power.
I don't know how they close their season, but I would be shocked if you had 5 of the 8 national seeds.
Yeah.
They will probably, the SEC will probably just end up 4. Not saying it can't 100% happen.
It's
but
the truth, though.
Oh, yeah, but...
Well, yeah, East Carolina was like ranked 7th in the poll. Well,
Clemson's going to host one. You're going to have one probably at
Oregon State. Corvallis.
I don't have my phone. Where to put my phone? I only wrote down the SEC teams, but I think there's a good chance as far as top 8 national seeds. I think there's
Indiana
4 locks at this point. I think there's 4 locks with A&M, Kentucky, Arkansas, and Tennessee, unless someone just completely falls off.
Is that kid, big kid with the cream glasses playing baseball?
Baseball too, no.
He transferred to St. Louis.
Yeah, St. Louis, yeah. I don't...
Georgia, South Carolina. They're going to be very tough 2 seeds for somebody.
Yeah.
And LSU's going to roll into someone's park as like a 3 seed and just...
Oh, my gosh.
Wreck havoc.
Think about Ole Miss's unfortunate track record that ended your season 2 years ago. They were, I can't remember, 3 or 4 seed, and they ended up getting hot at the right time. Yeah. And
last team in the tournament.
Yep.
And they won the whole
thing. That's why Sankey and others are advocating to, again, increase stuff, because they see something like that, and they're like, well, even the last team in of this conference is still good enough to win the whole thing. Which
there's 12 teams in this league that are in a legitimate, you know, some are in lock situation, but there's 12. You go 12 deep and have a legitimate conversation about being in the tournament.
Everybody except Missouri and Auburn.
Yep.
Anybody else, you can make a case.
Yep. Yeah.
Phil said yesterday that if Arkansas wins three of the next six games, they're probably going to get a national seed. If they win four of the next six, they're basically a lock. I was listening to him on halftime yesterday, and I would probably agree with that. I mean, you didn't
lock anyway.
Yeah, yeah. It would have to, disaster would have to strike these final two series for them not to
win two this weekend. You win one at A&M. I don't care about the West. I think you're, you know, under that scenario, probably number four or five in the national.
They got two series left. They're going to win the first game of both those series.
Yeah. I think the question you have to ask yourself is what SEC teams are paired regionally, because you mentioned the teams that won't be hosting. So there'll be a Lexington regional, a Knoxville regional, a Fayetteville regional, and a College Station.
You could have Vanderbilt and Knoxville.
Yeah, there will be, which would be pretty nuts.
No, because in regional play, you don't get a team from your conference.
Okay,
in super regional play, you can match up.
They'll pair up. I mean, if there's
it'll be unavoidable in the second weekend, they will not send an SEC school to another SEC school for regionals.
There's been years where SEC has had four teams in Omaha, and this year, could very much be one of those years based on how much they spread them out, kind of like you're saying.
All right, that's your Pradco Pyramid of Power. I've got Kentucky, Tennessee, Arkansas, A&M, Mississippi State, and Georgia in my 1-6. Me and Bruce pretty well agree, but we just got some flip-flopping. He's got Tennessee 1, Kentucky 2, A&M 3, Arkansas 4, and I think you had Georgia 5, and did you have State 6?
I had State 6.
State 6. So we got the same group of teams, just flip-flop some orders. All right, Ty, where'd we get them right? Where'd we get them wrong?
I have your exact same order, Tommy. Kentucky's the leader of not just the East, but the entire conference, even though Tennessee is number one. It's a catch-22. It really doesn't matter which one you put, and Arkansas right ahead of A&M until the series next weekend. Mississippi State playing some good baseball, as is Georgia. Those are kind of the two teams on the rise in the East, in the West and the East. So, yep, I've got that same thing.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, sports fans, don't let plumbing issues throw you off your game. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric is here to tackle those pesky drain blockages and ensure your water heater is always in MVP form. With Pascal's world-class service, you can count on a winning play every time. Whether it's a quick drain clear or a water heater touchdown, Pascal's got the expertise to keep your home running smoothly. Stay in the game and leave the plumbing to the pros. Schedule your service online anytime at gopascal.com. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Arkansas basketball got another commitment yesterday, and signee from Adu Thiero. Couple highlights for you. We saw him at Kentucky.
Adu Thiero gets the friendly bounce.
Thiero actually got taller from last year to this year.
Reeves followed and slammed by Thiero.
6'8 sophomore, averaged 7-5 this last season for the Wildcats. Thought about going back to his hometown, Pittsburgh. Indiana, North Carolina, and Kentucky were also in consideration. Started 19 games for the Wildcats this past year. Again, not the star-studded player that maybe you've gotten like four or five guys, but a guy that you definitely want on your basketball team, and I'm happy that he's here in Fayetteville.
Well, number seven. That's seven out of your 13, so you're over halfway there, and Blake Lawson's going to be one of your walk-ons. I'm sure that there'll be a hand-selected second walk-on to round out your 15, and so we'll see what these other six players look like, and I think the NBA draft process is going to play a big hand into the timing of how these last six are presented to the fan base and to the college basketball world.
Yeah, Theoro is a guy that next year, if he can blossom, if he can improve his shooting a little bit, has the body to be an NBA player. There are just some areas of his game that he's got to get better at to get to that next level.
But there's guys that are definitely in consideration for the draft process this year that you're kind of waiting on. And how much NIL money's left too? That's the other thing we truly don't know about. But it seems like it's plentiful right now.
So you got one guy coming in, a couple guys that have already exited that you were wondering about their next destination. Caleb Battle has committed to Gonzaga. Devo Davis yesterday committed to Oklahoma State, where he was originally committed out of high school before changing his commit to Arkansas. Then Layden Blocker to DePaul. I wasn't really surprised by the Devo theme. In fact, when I saw his list potentially, I thought there was a possibility that they was going to end up in Stillwater, but I was a little surprised that Layden just went to DePaul. I feel like he's a better player potentially than that program, but I guess that's where he wanted to end up.
Well, and I don't know if he miscalculated his options at Arkansas. I don't know how or if there was a conversation between him and Cal. But, I've been told he wasn't one of those players that was present the night he arrived. And I think that was, an important thing to be there when he met with the team, and it was one guy or whatever, it was three guys or whatever back there. But, Blocker was highly sought after, and, did he have a chance to maybe be on this team if things had went different? Perhaps, but, here we are, and he's at DePaul.
Guess so we'll never know.
We'll never know.
Some football additions I want to share with you this morning. Daniel Sally is a BYU defensive tackle transfer, had 21 tackles, 4 sacks, and 7.5 tackles for loss this past season. He is committed to the Arkansas Razorbacks, as has Choffrey Brown, who spent some time in a couple different places, including South Florida and North Carolina, was originally committed to Charlotte, but is now committed to your Arkansas Razorbacks.
Ball fly, great catch, held it in with one hand, Choffrey Brown!
Had 27 catches, 435 yards, and 5 touchdowns this past season, and the 8th addition for Arkansas in this spring cycle for the football program in Sam Pittman. Another two notes to mention this morning. Nick Bradford, former Fayetteville Bulldog, has joined Arkansas women's basketball as an assistant. And then you might need to help me on this. Arkansas has signed Finland national team player Pinja Paninen.
Doesn't yesterday. Sound like you need my help.
That is the third edition for Mike Nabors and company. So you've added an assistant and you've added another player for this roster this next year. All right, that is your Hog Update this morning, brought to you by our friends at Mr. Sparky.
You don't have to put up with any malarkey. Call 888-8-SPARKY.
I know we had some weather last night, and hopefully, again, whether it's thunderstorm related. Tommy, you mentioned some trees being down where you are, whether it's in northwest Arkansas or the River Valley. Hope you're safe this morning. I woke up to a tornado warning, the sirens going off. For those who don't know, the tornado siren is directly above my head. I know you and Big C were sharing that you slept through this morning with the tornado sirens. We don't have that luxury, to be honest, guys. I mean, that when I tell you, Tommy, it is right above
That's good.
Our house. It is like in a tree directly above where I live.
I don't know if maybe where I live we avoided the strongest part. I didn't even know it had rained until I got up this morning. Tried to go my normal route. I dodged a limb in the middle of the road. Then it wasn't 200 yards. There was a tree down across the road. And then turn around, go back. There was another road closed. I had to take a couple of different detours just to get here this morning.
Yeah. Well, I didn't stay up too late watching NBA action last night, but I did get a chance to watch a little bit of the New York Knicks. And I say a little bit. I watched the Knicks and Pacers. Did not watch much of the Timberwolves and the Nuggets, as the Timberwolves got another big win. But it was pretty crazy inning last night between the Knicks and the Pacers and MSG.
Kicks it, DiVincenzo, three-pointer. Down it goes! DiVincenzo puts the Knicks up three. Up ahead, Halliburton looked like he rolled his ankle and turns it over. Knicks have it. OG Anunoby dribbles it out. And game one belongs to the New York Knicks.
121 to 117 in the finals. The Knicks take game one. Jalen Brunson, fourth straight game with 40 or more points. You were talking about this morning the controversial offensive foul that was called on Miles Turner late in the game. They looked at it. It was not overturned. There was just a one-point game at that point. I think it was 118 to 117. But after that, Knicks took it.
Yeah, and they did look at that foul, and it was a illegal screen. I didn't think it fit the rest of the game and such a big moment to call that, but it was an illegal screen. But Pacers, like you said, Pacers were, I don't want to say in control of the game most of the way, but they had the lead most of the way in that game. And there were a couple of, there was one to end. There was two long shots. Someone from the Pacers hit one that was about a 50-footer, I believe, to end the first quarter. Then another one to end either at the half or another one that
Hardenstein
hit. That was like 50, a 50-footer.
Yeah, it was
going
great.
Into the locker room. That was kind of a fun deal. But there was two buzzer beaters to end the period.
And you got Oakley and Starks and Marbury and some of these other Knicks on the sideline. That was an underrated rivalry back in the 90s. I mean, Knicks and Pacers, right? The NBA timed it up. You got Reggie calling the game in the Garden, a former Pacer, one of the better Pacers that's ever played for that franchise. It was set up for, it's never going to, again, equate to what we saw in the 90s, but one of the better rivalries that we've seen in the NBA that maybe didn't reach the Bulls and the Pistons or the Lakers and the Celtics, but...
Hi, everybody. This is Chris George from Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Christmas gifts, weddings, heirloom family treasures. And at Joshua's Fine Jewelry, we only have one sale every year, and it's right now. Every single item in our store is value priced for Christmas. We do custom one-of-a-kind jewelry. If that's what you're looking for, come see us. You can get anything fixed for a Christmas gift. Selection, quality, service, and Christmas red tag prices now through Christmas at Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville.
Have you tried Benville Brewing's new Space Goose Hazy India Pale Ale? It's handcrafted in Arkansas. You'll taste the great tropical citrus, including the passion fruit, the guava, and pineapple. It's creamy, zingy, and zows the taste buds. It's weird, wonderful, and wacky all at the same time. Try the new Space Goose Hazy India Pale Ale from Benville Brewing.
Christian, big game tonight on TNT. Your Dallas Mavericks taking on my Oklahoma City Thunder. Three former Razorbacks, two from Fort Smith, one from El Dorado, going at it tonight.
Yes, sir. Daniel Gafford came up big for the Mavericks in Game 6 against the Clippers Friday night, scoring 13 points. The Mavericks closed out the Clippers 114-101 to advance to the Western Conference semifinals, where they will face Isaiah Joe, Jalen Williams, and the OKC Thunder. That game's tonight, Game 1. Now, like you just said, I'm Team Gafford, but this will be a fun series. You got three former Razorbacks that will all see playing time in this series.
That's pretty cool. Daniel, I would say, has been quite a catch for the Dallas Mavericks. I know he probably likes playing closer to El Dorado than way out in Washington, as do Jalen and Isaiah, less than 3 hours from their hometown. But in Oklahoma City, I would guess there's a lot of people in Northwest Arkansas here in the western part of our state, in the River Valley, too, that at some point these next few games will make their way to Oklahoma City or Dallas. It's the two closest franchises with the exception of Memphis, Tommy. So this would be a series to go to, even if you're not a big Thunder or Mavs fan, if you're just a Hog fan.
Yeah, and people are paying attention. So, I mean, good to have some of your former Razorback players, but also good to have teams in your region. We kind of get the double whammy on this, or double bonus. I guess it's not a whammy, it's a bonus, particularly with the Thunder.
Yeah, and now we'll see which team comes out. You'll have a Razorback in the Western Conference Finals regardless. It's either going to be two guys or just one, Big C.
Yeah, and Bobby Portis and Patrick Beverley got eliminated by the Pacers. Anthony Black's Magic lost in Game 7 to the Cleveland Cavaliers. So you've got three still in it.
Yep, and I guess and Jordan Walsh, too, with the Boston Celtics that get going against the Cleveland Cavaliers. He's not going to play. The good thing about tonight's game is you'll see three guys that actually play. Gafford usually starts. Jalen comes off the bench. I don't know how many times they'll match up against one another, but you'll probably see it at some point this series when there's some subbing here and there.
All right, now in the MLB, a guy that's getting the most buzz right now, Heston Kjerstad for the Norfolk Tides has been tearing it up. He's got 30 hits and 85 at-bats with 10 home runs and 30 RBIs. 10 of those RBIs came in one game. He's batting .349 for Norfolk, and he's had 9 at-bats for the Orioles this year. He's got 2 hits, which is good for a .222 batting average.
He got called up, and I guess he got put back down. That's happened not just with him, but other guys we've seen. Just hoping he makes it. I mean, this was a guy that they spent a lot of investment in, being as high of a draft pick as he was. Heston, we saw, even as a true freshman, had a major league body. I remember when he got on campus, I was like, Tommy, there's no way this kid's a freshman. But we saw instantly that he is a guy that can have success in the major leagues. Just hope it works out for him this early in his career.
What was the injury he had, or the illness? It was the heart problem, right?
Yeah,
he had a heart issue that was same one that, you know, some with COVID had, and that's setting back a year or more.
We talked about it on the show. And
like
it's
where you get the fluid around
it's
the lining of your heart.
Abnormal. Like, I mean, I don't know if I've ever heard it before.
Yeah.
We talked about it with Heston.
Anyway, but my point is that set him back a year or so of his pro career once he'd gotten into there. So, hadn't had that, there's no telling, you know, how far down the track he might be at this point.
Chris in Fayetteville, is it myocarditis?
Yeah.
I'm saying that right?
That's
Thank
right.
you, Chris in Fayetteville. Myocarditis. Text in on the McCarty Daniel hotline. All right, before we get to Tom, let's talk to Brent, who's in Searcy. What's up, Brent?
What's up, Tom? Tommy, what's up?
Good morning, my man. What's up?
Hey, the only thing I want to ask y'all is, are we still going to lunch tomorrow?
Tomorrow. I can't tomorrow. What's tomorrow?
I have actually...
How about you?
Yeah, I will be ready. I've actually knocked off my calendar with the intent of... Because I know you had talked about it, Brent, so we can definitely go to lunch, buddy.
All right, get my number from Christian, and you can tell me where to meet you and what time.
You got it, man. It's on Tommy, so we'll make sure we eat good.
Oh, it's on the station. Okay, let's roll with it.
Yeah.
What's up, man?
Hey,
somewhere nice with a drive-through window. So.
What do you think about the? What do you think about the Hogs this weekend? I think we'll recover. I think we'll take all 3 games this weekend.
Yeah, I think in regards to this past weekend, Brent, appreciate your call. I'm excited for lunch tomorrow. We got to remember, you went to the number one team in the SEC. You won game one handily. You got blown out in game two, and you had a chance to tie it up in game three with really your, I would say, the bat you won in that situation, with the exception of Peyton Stovall. You want one of the Peytons, right? You want Peyton Hoder or Peyton Stovall with a chance to tie or win the game. I don't think there's any other guy that you would put above those two. Peyton has shown it the past year that when he's in a clutch situation, 9 out of 10 times, he's probably going to come through for you more often than not. And unfortunately, his what could have been home run fell 10 feet short at the end of the game. So, again, you lost to a really, really good baseball team, the number one baseball team on the Pradco Pyramid of Power, I might add. And now you sit coming at home against another good baseball team in Mississippi State that's playing some really good ball right now. And you finish out with A&M, who's nipping at your heels in the SEC West. So I think, again, we have to, as good as SEC football is, we always have to understand the amount of talent within this league, both coaching and playing. And while I still think there are some hitting issues, if someone brings those up, I'm not going to dismiss those, because I think those are clear and evident. Just look at the statistics. You just have to remember the caliber of opponent you're playing each and every week. And Brent, like you, I do think they'll bounce back this weekend at home in the final regular season finale against the Bulldogs.
Yep. And you feel like anytime Hagan Smith is pitching, you're going to win the game. You need to win the two he's going to pitch in the season finales, and then, you know, you go win two more, and I don't think anyone's got any concern. I think, you know,
Hitting's going to come and go. You just needed to be there at the right spot. And you got to remember, once you get through the SEC tournament, you know, you may pile up some runs in the regional when you're playing a different level of opponent that you're going to see in that regional tournament.
All right, let's talk to our friend Tom Murphy here on the McLarty Daniel Hotline.
Now, let's talk to Tom Murphy on the Morning Rush.
So, Tom, that has been a question that several of our listeners have got at us on the McLarty Daniel Hotline about this baseball team in this past weekend. I want to ask you about this upcoming weekend. We heard Dave talk about it this past weekend in Lexington. We heard him talk about it at the Swatters Club yesterday, which I think you were at. Do you think he makes a change in the starting pitching rotation? And when I say change, do we see Gage Wood in the starting lineup this weekend?
Well, good morning, everyone, and always a pleasure to be on with you. I think, obviously, the first time he said something, which was Saturday night, and he used the specific term, Gage Wood is, you know, about to take somebody's job. That's just a warning, and you know that Mason Molina heard that, and Brady Tiger, and I think it kind of sets the expectation, I've got to do better. And so Molina, again, had trouble with control on Sunday. But I didn't get the sense yesterday, because we talked to Dave after he spoke to the Swatters Club. You know, you mentioned the thing about Gage Wood. Have you made a decision? He wasn't prepared to do that yesterday. And so it makes me think that, you know, there's been fair warning, and they'll look at the matchups. And I think, you know, do you want Gage Wood right-hander versus the Mississippi State lineup on Sunday, or Mason Molina left-hander? But even if they stick with Molina, you know that Gage Wood will be the longest guy. And I don't think that would be Friday, but potentially Saturday or Sunday, he could be the longest guy. Now, they could surprise me a little and actually start Gage Wood. I don't know. I wouldn't say it's 50-50 at this point based on what I've heard from Dave Van Horn.
The other big topic that you guys were discussing with him yesterday is the outfield. He mentioned Willis Myers, good defender, hasn't hit the ball that well. Lovich is pretty decent hitter and made some errors this weekend and moving hold around, what they're going to do there. Is it concerning that we're 2 weekends away from the regular season concluding and the outfield is not solidified?
Yeah, I think it is concerning, and you can't say that certain, you know, guys haven't had their chances, because they have. Mm-hmm. When you think about this, Jason Jones started the year in left field, and then since Lovich, Will Edmondson, and you know, you look around at the DH position, Souza and Jack Wagner, and you know, the backup catchers, various other people have had their shots at DH, and nobody has just taken it. And I thought there was an interesting question yesterday of Dave, which was, you know, have you looked at Wilmsmeyer? You know, what's going on? And, you know, that's kept his batting average down.
Because he was a great hitter, not great, but he was a really good hitter last year at Missouri.
I think 270 at Missouri.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he's dealing with extra pressure. I don't know what it is. But Dave said, yeah, I mean, if we knew, we would have already done it, because they would love to keep his glove in there. But I think Peyton Holt's the guy who stays in the lineup, okay, no matter what configuration they run.
Yep.
I think Peyton Holt stays in there. And I think it's just going to be a game by game with so many of the other positions, you know, center field, left field, and DH.
Yep, totally agree on that. Tom Murphy with us on the McLarty Daniel Hotline. After losing the series at Kentucky, Arkansas and Kentucky basically flip-flopped 2 and 3 this week in the RPI. In your estimate, in your opinion, is Arkansas already a lock at this point for a top 8 national seed, or is there still work to do?
Well, probably still work to do. And I heard you mention if you win the 2 Hagan Smith starts the next 2 weekends and then add 1 or 2 wins on top of that, then I think you're a lock. But, I mean, you know, Arkansas fans are used to Hagan Smith Friday automatic. But you think back, you know, the South Carolina game, 2-1. Florida game, 2-1. There's just some teams that have held Arkansas down. And sooner or later, that could catch up to them. And you just don't want to lose a Hagan Smith start. You know, I think if you're an Arkansas fan, you look at it like, okay, A, Dave Van Horn teams always seem to find a way, and that's why I probably feel like they might win the series this weekend, but maybe not sweep. But B, there's enough concerns that have piled up. Team batting average, clutch hitting, you know, hitting with runners in scoring position, runners on base. The length of your starters behind Hagen Smith. There's enough of those issues that have piled up that you do have concern. If things click along, yeah, they're top eight, you know, national seed. But the way Mississippi State's playing, you know, Dave is just hoping that having these 2 days off, which would have been yesterday and today, the hitters, you know, they're concentrating on finals and all that, and when they come back, they're going to have a little bit more energy. Because to me, that's the key to unlocking everything, is just to have more guys getting on base and more hits when people are on base.
Yeah, and you mentioned all of those concerns, and they're reasonable, they're valid conversations with the hitting, and to me, the Saturday and Sunday starting. But despite all of that, they're 40-9, and they lead their division. So if this team is ever half as good as the fans seem to think they should be, as close to perfect as some of our callers have thought they should be at this point, they're going to be pretty scary, because despite all those things you listed off, they've won 40 ball games.
You know, it's just amazing. Every fan base's expectations come with what's happened before, what's happened since, where are you right now. And I think it was somewhat cathartic for Dave Van Horn yesterday to stand in front of the Squatters Club crowd, because that's exactly what he said. It was like, you know, it's amazing. Here we are at 40-9, a better pace than last year by 3 games, because they were 37-12 at this point last year, and that was a great season. And yet we're unhappy. You know, we're not satisfied. And that's the truth, because you just lost a series to Kentucky where some things happened with the pitching, you know, giving up runs that just hadn't afflicted them yet this year. And so in the here and now, there are concerns about clutch hitting and then what the pitching staff did in giving up runs. And until this weekend comes, we won't have any more answers. But after this weekend, we'll have a lot more answers.
Tom, you mentioned the pitching staff. Two other guys he mentioned, Hunter Dietz and Colin Fisher, both out for the season. And I think we knew about Dietz already. And Colin, he just kind of let you know they weren't going to be starters, but possible bullpen guys. How much of an impact do those injuries have on this pitching rotation?
Well, Fisher certainly would be a guy that, when you got into the postseason, would have given you some innings here and there. I mean, he could have pitched an inning. He could have been a spot starter if you got to a game four, that type of thing. So I think his loss has an impact. You know, Dietz, I don't know if they were really counting on getting any innings out of him this year, and he got a couple, or, you know, parts of a couple of games. So the Fisher one hurts a little bit, but there's enough depth in that bullpen, you know, that if Parker Coyle can, you know, pitch a little bit better, you know, locate better, and some of the other right-handers, that they would have enough depth. And certainly if Gage Wood emerged as a guy who could give you 5 innings in a postseason game, you'd be in better shape.
So the A&M weekend, Tom, has been flexed to television, which I know a lot of Arkansas fans were happy about. Would you like to see the SEC, starting with the additions of Oklahoma and Texas, do this option for all baseball games next year? Because I know there's a lot of fans hacked off that a top 10 matchup was not on television.
Right. I guess they just try to – I can't get into the minds of the executives of SEC Network, ESPN, who want to set that schedule at the start of the year. Certainly, I think they might want to look at all the games in May as being flex. So, you know, that's a question for them. But, yeah, I mean, if you say, and I don't really know how all the scheduling goes, but if you set a hard, fast schedule and then teams don't perform like you thought, let's just say LSU was on a lot of TV in May. Well, you know, they're having a down year. Ole Miss having a down year. And it's inevitable. SEC baseball is just like football. Every team, particularly in the West, thinks they're good enough to get to Omaha and win it all, and they have proven that in recent years. But in the course of a season, things will happen, and some of those teams will struggle, even though they're really good teams.
Yeah, I mean, and yeah, to me, we hold the football standard to the other sports. They do a lot of the same stuff in basketball, and I think – I think eventually once you're working with one television partner in all your sports, which is where we're headed, this will catch up. This will, you know, some of this philosophy, because now with the fiber and the studio facilities and everything you've got on campus at all the facilities, some of that will catch up. Hey, real quick before we go, just quick thought on Cal now up to, let's see, 7 signees in on his roster. We're a little over halfway there with Thiero coming on. So, I mean, things are starting to become a little more in focus with the future of Arkansas basketball.
Exactly, and it was kind of my thought from the beginning. You know, give them time, have some patience. This will come together. It has. I think Adu Terrio will be a good addition. I think his offensive game still needs a little polish, but he's a strong defender, certainly a physical type of guy who, you know, could finish through contact and that type of thing, and I think will be a top-level defender. And so, give him a little bit more time, and I think a competitive roster will be in place.
This podcast has been presented by Bet Online.
This podcast is an exclusive property of Pearson Broadcasting. It may not be copied, reproduced, modified, published, uploaded, reposted, transmitted, or distributed in any way without Pearson Broadcasting's prior written consent. Subscribe to the Hit That Line Podcast Network, the best podcast in the Natty State. Just search Hit That Line wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.